OFC Podcast Radio.
This is deep.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence right here on OFC Podcast Radio. But before we do anything else, we're going to bless our show and the kings and queens listening.
Blessings, melanated rising, my people. I am so grateful to life, I'm grateful to God, our creator, and I'm grateful to our ancestors for being present here with us. And I just ask that today's show, let it be uplifting, let it be enlightening. Most importantly, let it be empowering for each and every one of our listeners as we send out that spirit of love, light, unity, strength, great health, wealth, and peace. Ashe, ashe. I feel like there's more I use it. Oh, yeah. Hotep, amen. Ashe, aibabo. You know, I was like, wait. Did I just jump straight to the ashe part? It just felt like an ashe moment, but I felt like there was more, you know, to go along with this. Anyway, You're in the great. Are you single?
What was that?
Yes, I give some Trini twang. What are you seeing, girl?
Oh, I'm seeing. Okay, because I didn't catch that part, you know?
It was a Trini twang. You know me, I'm 100% Trini, 100% Canadian, you know? You do the math.
Mm-hmm. That equals to 200.
Thank you very much. Talk about it. It's a lot of energy right here. Go
ahead. Let's see. So I know we're going to talk about a value today, but I'll give you guys a quick recap. And I'll recap a little bit more during my segment too, because I'm kind of pairing it with motivation as well. But we had a fun time this weekend learning about people and how, like, unfortunately, some people really, they lack awareness. Is what I'd say. I'm just saying this because, like with our trip to Costco, our quick trip to Costco, and people were just like you see.
No, awareness is not the right word. No, Gina, it's consideration. It's not awareness. It's,
yes. Oh, you're right. Yes. Well, I think it's both. Yeah. No, you're right. Actually, yeah. Scratch that.
Because I'm in a big caravan. The man damn well see me right there. It's not like awareness is like, yeah. Oh, I didn't notice you were there, nigga.
No, facts. Absolute facts. Absolute facts. And it's like you're here in a fully filled parking lot, and you're just like, you're literally taking one item at a time, not a bag at a time. You're taking one item at a time, and then you're putting in the bag for you to then put it in your car, then your wife or girlfriend goes into her side of the seat, then you go on your side of the seat, then you put glass, then you put your shades on, then you're just like, oh, I want to take my jacket off, so you take your jacket off. Oh, then you take your wife's jacket off. You haven't even started the car yet, and then you lift the shades up because I was in, and now you start the car, but now you're still sitting there. Let me tell you, I am surprised they were even gone by the time we went in and came out and did what we had to do, because we were in Costco for probably 7 full minutes.
I know,
right? We weren't even there long. That's how.
On a Saturday.
Me too. Let me tell you something. I said, "Swoodoo, swipe the card, do this, self checkout. I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Let's go."
Talk about.
But it's funny because I find it's funny because based on the conversation that we were having, and it was a quick connect on that. But it was as if like life imitating art and art imitating life. It was just like it was happening in real time. Just like the inconsideration at all turns, and that's why sometimes you got to be a little careful about what you're delving into, because you bring that in your space.
Yep. We're energy beings.
Yeah, 100%. And it was as if like in our conversation they're just like, oh, you mean like this example right here that's happening? Yeah. And we were talking, and at some point I couldn't even pay attention to what you were saying, because I was just like, there's no way this man's still in this parking spot. No way.
No. Yo, Gina, I'm telling you, you see, this goes apart. This goes with that Christ consciousness we're talking about. Because I feel like I was seeing it, but definitely not feeling like how you were. Because you were definitely getting heated, son. You were like,
I was annoyed.
But I guess, and this, it's funny. I don't know if it's funny in the right word, in the right way. I'm not sure if it's ha-ha funny. But I have to say, I think it's because life, I've gotten so much levels of disrespect in this life experience. I'm like, yo, what? I'm like, yo, this guy could sit in his car, relax. He could put a seat back. I'm like, whatever. And then in that time, somebody else had time to pull out their car. We just parked in another spot.
Yeah, very easy. And
but it was like, but, I'm like,
the problem is, and then this is why I have to learn some lessons. Because in my head, I was just like, it's because they thought we were black. And they just want to annoy us. Like, I went through all kinds of stage of levels. Like, how come, why come, mm-hmm. haven't you moved?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? And then I was just waiting to see once we parked, if they were going to pull out. If they were going to pull out, it would have been fine. Because then I definitely know that they were doing it on purpose. But they still stayed there. So I was like, all right, whatever. It was a glitch in my day.
Yep.
But anyway, we're talking values today. But before we go with that, anything that you want to update on our roundtable today?
Well, just one, I've had an eventful little bit of time. I had a great opportunity to travel, with WestCan, for one of their performances and stuff like that. And I watched them perform for these elders and stuff like that in Rawdon. And it was such an experience, so uplifting and fun for the people there. So that one, I just wanted to give a shout out to WestCan for that, because I just, again, if you're out there, guys, and you want something to lift your spirits, you bring in WestCan. Like they did, and it was like it was a church, it was like a Catholic church, beer elders, and I'm talking the average age was probably, I don't know, 65 to 80 is the average. And yo, you should see the people getting down, well fed in, and then after it was the testimonials from the people, like the elders themselves. I was like, yo, they haven't had fun like this in so long. It's like we all add. This is what one woman is like. Yo, my dad is 92 years old, and yo, the man, I saw the man standing up, waving his hand, all kind of things. She's like, yo, this performance gave him 2 more years for sure, minimum. she's like, yo, you know. So again, it's just despite whatever might be happening on the planet, in the world, it is always good to be able to just, you know, like to find the things that give you joy and give you peace. And there's been all kind of contrasts, because I had to give a testimonial in our WhatsApp group just the other day, because I had a very interesting conversation with an individual, a funder. So we had some contrasts. So now, like one of the funders, you guys already know, like the OFC, we got to go after grants as much as we are able to rely on our members to make their contributions for us to be able to do some of the bigger things. We do need access to some capital. And one of the funders, you know, very politely was telling me that they don't necessarily see how they could fund what we're doing, because we seem like a group of friends just helping each other out. And at first I have to say, I was taken back by that. I was like, oh, how dare he? But then again, first of all, like I tell you guys, I get disrespected on many levels pretty regularly. So I took that and I said, you know what? When life gives you lemons, lemonade, my friend. And I very quickly, like, I did not let the I'm not sure if it's his intention was negative or whatnot, but I didn't take it negatively. In the moment, I was like, oh, well, that sucks. But then right after, my spirit was like, bro, high fives, because that is literally what we set out to do. It was to create a network of X amount of people who take the time to get to know each other, to help each other out, and support each other in needs. Yo, I'm like, so the fact that he's seeing that, he's like, that seems what it is. Now, mind you, we're a lot more than just friends doing that, because we actually do have influence. We have a lot of power. And because we are numbers and we function in cohesion, we actually do have a good amount of influence. We can make a lot of things happen. But nonetheless, again, what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And I took that as a plus, you know, as an encouragement. Last thing I want to say before we talk about our the value that we're touching on for this week. You watch the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay. Cause
I don't know what happened.
First of all, I'm not a big sports fan, but for I'll watch it. Okay, in all transparency, I wanted to see Kendrick's performance. So I was like, I'm gonna watch the Super Bowl because, you know, I feel Kendrick's gonna kill it. The game was interesting. Shout out to the Eagles. I have no idea what happened with the Chiefs. Like, wow. That, like, for Chiefs fans out there, RIP, I'm so sorry. It just, to me, the line just, the defensive line got into the quarterback's head. I can't remember his name right now, but got into his head, and the man just could not. Who?
The Number Holmes.
Yes, thank you, Gina. You see, that's why Gina's great. But so it just got in his head, and just it wasn't happening. So all that to say, Kendrick's performance was dope. Oh my goodness, jeez, did this guy come correct? And again, is anybody checking on Drake? That's what I I'm like, yo, jokes aside, like first of all, Kendrick won 4 Grammys on a track that was a diss track, so which validates the whole world.
Sorry, didn't mean to laugh.
Feeling the track, bro. You tried to sue the record label, and the whole world like, what are you talking about? The track is fire. And then, obviously, it killed in the Super Bowl. Tell me why, between the time the Super Bowl finished, I close my eyes, I wake up, I see there's damn near 9 million views on the Kendrick Lamar performance of the Super Bowl in 8 hours.
But you know what I loved about it? It was his tease where he's just like, oh, they want me to sing this. And then he started with the dun, 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 and then continued with his other songs. I was like, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah. Of course. Anyway, so we'll digress on that. Let's talk. We have a quick 5 minutes to talk about the next value that we're bringing to the people. So Gina the Great, we're talking about building for the future generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to lead. Do you, if you could start?
Okay, so I'm going to leave with a video, and it's going to be a bit a video or audio for those who are listening. And it might be a little controversial because it's calling upon what we say is cultural or like just part of like, you know, being Black. And I say this because the author of the video had pretty much alluded to the fact that you know, if you put hands on your children, that's not an inherently Black thing to do, or whatever it was, because I didn't see that, but he was basically responding to somebody saying, like, oh, give me back your Black card. And so what he was explaining is that being kind to your children is an act of resistance and defiance against the people that had kept us enslaved. So let's have a listen.
So I think you got a little backwards. Let me help you out. Did you know there is no evidence of ritualistic corporal punishment for children anywhere in West Africa prior to colonization? Did you know that the Europeans kind of originated corporal punishment for children? You could see that with the Spartans when they would send their 5 and 6 year olds off to Agoge, where they would beat the hell out of them for anything. You see that in medieval Europe, they would nail children's ears to a stake to prevent them from doing something like lying or stealing. But that didn't happen in the Americas or in West Africa. But they got you out here believing that it's Black to yell at your kids. It's Black to beat your kids. It's white to be gentle to your children. It's white to talk to your children instead of yelling at them. They sold us a lie, and we're falling for a hook, line, and a sinker. Like Dr. Stacey Patton said, the whitest thing you can do is beat or yell at your kids. So give me your Black card. Because you ain't taking mine. I'm Black in the next of spades, baby. Remember, being kind to your children is an act of defiance against the slave owners that held us in captivity for 400 years, baby.
So I found that interesting, and I wanted to keep this because I saw this a few weeks back, and knowing that we were doing these topics, I was just like, "Ooh, I think this is the time for me to say this, right?" And one of the comments had said, "You know, many West and Central African belief system honored children because they were thought to be ancestors who returned, and the idea of hitting, screaming at, or talking down to children in any way was sacrilege in the eyes of the pre-colonial ancestors. So loving a Black child is indeed the most Black thing that you can do. Gentleness is our children's birthright." So that's what I came across, and I definitely wanted to share that when I heard that we were talking about you know, building for the youths and our youths in our community.
This is that's deep. I for sure I have a different view on that. I'm like, oh, word, that let me know how that's working out for you, brother. I'm very curious to know how many children this guy has. But
you should ask him.
Yeah, you know, because the thing is, I don't know why we would say because a parent is disciplining their child, they don't love them. Like, you definitely, I'm a believer in that if you love your child, you will make sure to correct them,
discipline them if necessary, teach them certain.
But you never said anything about not disciplining your children, though. It wasn't let your children run wild for running wild sake.
I guess it's because he gave the context is like, he's basically saying like no hitting your children or something, or like, you know, like basically giving love to your children. Like,
it was about being physically or verbally abusive to your children.
Right. So that's the thing, like, it's such a thin line, because it's like, yes, there's abuse, and there's a difference when a parent has no control, no self-control, and they're beating their children, right? That is you have an issue. If you are like in your right mind, in a sense, and you're explaining to your child, well, look, this is the consequences to action, you're going to get licks for this. That you're teaching them just consequences to action, and life is going to teach them that even if you don't, right? So making
what happens? What happens if you take that? What happens if they take that with them in adulthood, and then it's a question of like, well, your action here means I'm going to give you licks, and then now the consequences to his actions of the other person's action is like, now you in jail because you're not supposed to put your hands on people. I think we just have to, like, and that's kind of where, like, I'm bringing this with this, like. And this is we need this much more than a conversation in our opening, and that's maybe something that we need to explore further in another episode. But anyway, that's my take on when it comes down to building for the youth.
Mm-hmm. Well, how I could summarize that and talk on my point is that. Like, my children grew up, like, I'm definitely a disciplinary, but I have mad love for my children. I crack all kind of jokes with them regularly. Absolutely. so they know that they know the balance. And the other thing too is I'm a very strong believer that when you are raising your children, you have a responsibility to raise them, right? It's not to grow up with them as you and them are kiki kakak brethren, because I also see the results of that. I have friends who didn't like the way I wanted to raise my children, and I watch them now with their children, and I'm like, well, how's that working out for you? The way your child is completely disrespecting you in all kind of ways. And again, I think we even spoke about it in a past episode. It's not about installing fear in your children. It's a matter of them understanding, like I said, simple consequences to actions, right? So again, everybody has their way of going about it. I have a very stern way of operating, where I'll speak to you one time so you could understand. I'll validate to make sure you understand, and I'll explain to you the consequences of the actions if you go outside of that. Now, when you go outside of that and there's consequences to action, I'm going to be to my word. So because I said that this is what's going to happen if you do that, that's what it is. And it's not to be extreme. It's really just to set a certain precedent. And I am proud to see how my children have grown, how they evolve, how they respect people, how they know how to communicate. Like, where we, like, sometimes my children watch how other children are acting, and they're looking at me like, whoa. We would never do those kind of things.
Like, I to that point, and to the same example that you said, like, you saw how some who tried to, or who raised their children like we're just friends, and you didn't put any discipline in them, because that also will have consequences in life, because that's not how life works here on Earth at this point in time. But to that other end of the spectrum, I've seen, known, and have known people who, because they grew up in that violence, and you said it right, there's a difference with, you know, discipline and just like, you know, being your kids, because like sometimes, like, people are squaring up with your kids. You grown adults squaring up with your child.
That's crazy.
But to that point, I need to reiterate the fact that it is very confusing for a child who's growing up and learning life, that you, who's supposed to be their protector and the person who loves them the most in the world, are doing things like, oh, I'm only doing this because I love you, because then that can translate to something different. And then they do become the violent ones. They do become the ones where you're seeing the femicide. They do become the ones who are, and same thing with women too. Femicide, I understand, it's the man against woman, but like, you end up having violent women too. Like, it just, there needs to be a better way, especially when we start to correlate giving licks with being a cultural, being mutually inclusive to our culture.
Yeah, well, that what I just heard, that was news to me, because I know white people get licked. So I was like, I didn't know it was a black thing. I just thought it was just naturally, like, there's certain children and certain parents that decide to raise their children in certain ways. But okay, so, and not to go too deep in it, so I definitely appreciate that perspective. When we within the OFC are talking about building for the next generation, definitely we're not thinking about on that aspect. It wasn't, so I definitely appreciate that perspective.
At the left.
It is actually more, the example I could give is the fact that we ensure to include youth in everything that we're doing so that their opinions and their voices are heard and taken into consideration. So
it's a good thing you told me to go first, because then if I would have came with this after you said all that, they'd be like, they did not work on the cohesion of this.
No, spirit! You know how it works. My spirit is like, let Gina talk. And I was like, cool, the floor is yours. So, but no, so that's really what it is. So it is really important that, because I can't even put a number to this, but it's just known that very often within the community, people will have a vision for their children, and either they're running this business and they're like, I'm doing this for my kids, and then when I'm done, I'm gonna give it to my children. And then they get salty when they're like, here, this is for you, and the child's like, I hate what you do and I'm not down for this at all. and then there's a resentment. It's like, I did this for you, but you never even asked me if I even like this. Like, you're saying you did it for me, but first of all, I haven't seen you because you're always doing this, and so I don't even know you. I don't know your business. I don't like your business. I kind of resent your business, matter of fact, because the fact that you were in it so long and you didn't raise me, and now you're here giving me this burden. I don't want this burden. Like, it's like, no, I'm not interested. So it's, if we're going to be honest parents and genuine about wanting to build something for the next generation, we have to take the time to listen to them. And that, it just still touches on your point, because I respect the child's opinion. I was like, you could, as young as 4 or 5 years old, from when you could speak to me, I'm going to listen to what you're saying. And because I know you have an understanding, because I know you're a reincarnated ancestor, I'm not going to belittle your thoughts. I'm going to say, oh, that's how you're feeling. That's what, okay, cool. So now, so like, I'm going to take in that. I'm going to take heed to those kind of things. But basically what we're really looking to establish is a real bridge for the future generation. And for that, you have to create spaces for these youth from now, create opportunities for these youth to get involved from now. So that's when we say building for the next generation, that is one of the aspects that we mean. And the other one is obviously, I don't want to say obviously, the other one is setting up an economic foundation for our future generation. And by that, we mean, guys, like, as adults here, we have to be thinking about life insurance, okay? Like, these parents that are like, ah, when I'm dead and gone, it's done. That is not building for the future generation. That is actually impeding them, because now you've left them with a debt if you thought death was free and cheap. It's not. So that's what I mean when we say planning for the future generation is being mindful of having things, simple things like insurance, like some savings.
I mean, it can, mind you, it can be if you're okay with losing all the house and the business that you said you've been working on so much for your child. When you die, there's all these debt.
Thank you very much. You know what I mean?
They have to forfeit it anyway, so. Really,
the government is going to come in like, merci beaucoup. But anyway, so that's really what it is. So it is a matter of being mindful of that. It's pooling our resources together. And most importantly, guys, it's taking the time to get to know each other, building proper bonds so we can open the way and create opportunities for our youth. All right. That is really what it is. The fact that I know you know me, we can now create these opportunities. I don't care. I said it just this past week. Shout out to Chad. I was on 102.3 FM this past weekend. Our brother Chad. And one of the things that we were talking about is that, yo, I don't care what anybody tells me. There's not every executive that's in these positions, it's because they earned it. It's because they know somebody who knows somebody. I was like, yo, bro, there's a job here. Come on in. That is what I mean when I'm talking about building for the next generation. It's us being mindful as adults and creating opportunities for our children. And if we're going to do that effectively, we have to take the time to get to know our children. We have to take the time to get to know each other and then watch each other's children. Last thing I'm going to say, as a generation of conscious people, guys, we need to do a better job of ensuring that our children know each other. Okay, like, we're growing up, like, coming up, like, it's awesome to see how many of my brethren's, I know their parents and their parents know mine, right? Like, and that is something that I feel is a cultural thing that we're missing out on as a people. Like, we're growing up, we're having these children, and they're growing up in their phones, in their social medias, and they're super isolated, opposed to us making an effort to say, let's get together, let's link up together, let's bring these youths together so they could get to know each other. The worst things to see is two youths that are beefing and then come to find out the parents are brethren. And it's like, yo, bro, that's my son, bro. That's it. That's your son? That's my son. Yo, and these knuckleheads doing, yo, guys, come get to know each other. And done the thing. We're not taking the time to be able to do that. So I digress, but guys, this is again why this value in terms of building for the youth is so important to the OFC, because they are our relev. They are our next generation. What we're doing is to enable us to empower them, and you know, if done well, when we reincarnate, we'll come back to a beautiful space because we gave them the means and the tools to do so. So with that, I'm excited for today's show. The guest that we have on today is the Queen Elizabeth Kentev. Now, what is awesome about her, first of all, is how we came to connect, right? We'll talk about it a bit, but we, as we're talking about youth and talking about her building for the next generation, we connected because of her children, right? And it was funny because we're going to deep dive, but what she's doing in terms of building for the family, building for the community, educating us, she is all about us planning and preparing for the future generation. So guys, sit back. Get ready. We're about to have a great time as we dive in with the sister Elizabeth Kentev, who's going to talk to us about her business, about what she does in terms of educating people on their finance, investments, and planning for the future. As we take a pause for cause now, we'll be back with Parlay with the People.
If your goal is to purchase a car and to make the process as simple as possible, just get a car broker, guys. You just get a car broker. Big shout out to our homeboy, Hamsdale Jacques, the owner of HJCourtierAuto.com. That's HJCourtierAuto.com. If you're a small to medium-sized business and you're getting started and you're ready to go to that next level, what do you need? You need a phone line and you need a website. Think Mainstream Digicom. They got all your telecommunication needs checked. MainstreamDigicom.com. You're trying to get out on the web. You're trying to understand how to navigate through ads. Check out JavaLogix for all your marketing, your digital marketing. Where would we be without Preston? I don't even know. Check out JavaLogix. I give thanks to Preston for what he's done for the OFC. The amount of positive reviews we've gotten from all his referrals, we're proud to stand behind his work. Check out JavaLogix.com. No, it's not just because he's my brother. It's because you can't talk hip-hop in Montreal without saying M-City Solo. Guys, check out his latest project, In My Feels, available on mcitysolo.com. If it's not one of the hardest new EPs to hit Montreal, come and let me know. You already know. It's your boy, Farrell, bigging up, mcitysolo.com. Keeping the culture alive. I gotta give thanks to West Can Folk Performing Company. For the last 40 years plus, they've been promoting our culture through song, drum, and dance, educating youth, the children, the seniors. Just check them out, westcanfolk.com. DeVito, WizKid, Burna Boy. Those are just some of the big names that's blessed Montreal thanks to Afrobeats Montreal. Definitely check out Afrobeats MTL for all concerts, show listings, everything that has to do with Afrobeats in the city. Check out Afrobeats MTL. One Full Circle. We are the Melanated Community Resource Hub and Network. What does that mean? We're here for each other.
Parlay with the people.
Right, beautiful people, we are back. So this sister is she's a special sister in the community. She came to us, and it had nothing to do with business. It was more about family, and I do look forward to when we can all get on the call, me, her, our boy George Lagac, her family, to dive in to what the OFC was able to do. And hopefully she shares a little bit about it. But What we are here to talk about today is her experience in the world of investments, finance, protection, life protection, and just planning for the future. I am excited and I'm glad to introduce you all to our sister, Elizabeth Gantev. She is an OFC member. She is a business owner, and she is here to share, introduce herself to you guys, and to share what she is currently going on, what she currently has going on within the community. Grand Rising Queen, and welcome to the OFC Podcast Radio.
Thank you for having me, Carol. Very appreciated.
It's my pleasure, sister. It's my pleasure. So basically, anybody who knows how I get down, first off, before I dive into the business, before I dive into, you know, like promoting what you do and encouraging the people to support you, I always like creating an opportunity for our guests to just introduce themselves to the community, let people know about themselves on a personal and, you know, like what brought them here. So sister, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, to start, I'm Elizabeth Cantave. I'm Haitian, born and raised in Montreal, South Shore, Montreal. I come from a big family, 9 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Yes, I'm number 7.
Okay. Awesome.
Number 7. And I'm married to a Rwandan man. I have 3 kids. I have a 13-year-old, 14, and a 19-year-old. Okay, so with all this, I'm a hockey, soccer, volleyball, rugby mom. So I'm really busy with that. So
And it's good that you're involved in your children's lives and you're involved in their sports. And if it's okay for us to share just a little bit, just about, you know, like what brought you here and how we came to connect. So you were introduced to the OFC. Let me see. Who had introduced you to the OFC?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because somebody...
Oh, you know what? It's because I receive a message. I don't know how on my Facebook,
true.
I think.
Yes.
It was a messenger. Something came up in my messenger and I just replied. And I asked if you could help me with my issue. That's how we met.
That is so. You know what? I call those spiritual connections. When it's kind of back as all, because you are part of our OFC ecosystem. So that's how you're able to get the message, like get our messages. And that was it. You had sent a message. You're going through a little something, and you needed some support. And you know, and it was something as a community. This is what we are here for. So if you just want to share a little bit from your perspective, what it was like, and then we can dive in.
Of course. Well, I didn't know where to go, actually. I had an issue because my son play hockey. He's in an elite level AAA. But since we're in the South Shore, a little town, he's mostly the only little black boy playing hockey there. So for no reason whatsoever, he's been cut out of the league. And without no explanation, he was traumatized. They asked him to change school, find another school, because he was too young to stay in that school, because the only reason you would stay at that school is if you're on the special program. Okay. So that's how I was like, okay, no, this doesn't work. I need to find somebody to help us. And that's from there we get in touch with you guys, and you put me in contact with a mentor who was amazing and is still amazing. So, yeah.
Yes.
We're talking about Georges Larac. I don't know if I can say it, but Georges Larac. So it's like,
I'm
forever grateful, forever.
Queen, I thank you. I'm telling you, like your success story, again, like we hear a lot of cool stories within the community, but you really, like, you did help us to show exactly what community is, what community is about. It's to show that we are here for each other, peu importe la situation, on est là. And you know, again, shout out to Brother George, like he's an amazing brother through and through. So again, I am looking forward to, we've been haggling him to try to get him on to just share his story, but you guys know he's super busy. So we'll keep you guys posted. We'll continue to haggle him until we get him so he could share from his perspective what that whole experience was like, and just more awesome things that he has going on within the community. But okay, so now let's transition a little bit, because now that's how you came to join the OFC. And it just so happened you and I, we went to another networking event and we're talking, and then one thing led to the next, and then you're talking to me about the business. I'm like, sister, you're in business. we came together on a personal, which is why we're together within the OFC. But now, let's talk about the business. So if you can just elaborate a little bit about, you know, the business that you operate, the business that you run, and your passion and what brought you into it.
Yes, I always been in contact with clients, okay, because I always like to build relationship, have conversation. I'm good with people, like one-on-one connection. I really love that, and I always been like in customer service, client relation, and all those stuff. Back in the days, I used to be a flight attendant also, and this developed, you know, my skills, you know, to learn and handle, you know, high pressure and situation, you know, increase. And then I work as a mortgage specialist also for two major banks. And I was also a regional account manager in the past for risk management. Okay. But at one point in my life, we were kind of running after our tail, if I could say. On courait comme, tu sais, vraiment, après notre queue. Puis, en fait, what I was looking for is to have more time with my family. Okay, more time with my family. Yes, we were making money, but we were not really enjoying our life. Okay, and every time you make, let's say, another salary, you will have more expenses attached to that. So you feel like you're living to pay your bills and living to. Okay, so that's what I decided to stop this. Okay, so my husband and I, we took the decision that he will continue doing, you know, what he's doing, but I will go and build a business that will work for our family. That's how it started. Okay. So Primerica, okay, because I said Primerica came into my life when my son was 5 years old. Okay, my 14 years old. Mm-hmm. He was five. And I didn't understand. I really didn't understand. I took some plan for study for them, and I took my life insurance. Okay. But over the years, like I said, I built my career and I did several stuff. I really took the time to understand, okay, what was Primerica. And if you don't take the time, you will miss that great opportunity. Okay, so Primerica made me, gave me the possibility to build a business that will bring me residual income. Okay, and we know in life that we need several source of income. Okay, of course. So long story short, I went and got my license. Okay, so I'm a financial security advisor and a group saving representative. Over the years, I became a branch manager. So I'm the one who approved all the transaction in my organization. And now I'm a regional vice president. So I run my own business and I'm helping people to do the same. Wow. So if... So if we're thinking about what I do, the financial part of it, we really do have two mandates, okay, when we help people or when we get in touch with people. The first, it's really the financial education, okay? We are here to communicate the information that often institution doesn't take the time or doesn't mention, okay, to the client. And the second is I'm an entrepreneur, like you said, so I recruit and train leaders to manage distribution of high-end financial product and service. So I don't know if I answered the first question.
Of course. This is it. What the business is, what you're doing, and how you got into it. And I have to a shout out to you guys in terms of a family unit, because even taking that lead and having that conversation and saying this is what we're going to do and having that plan, kudos to you guys, because it's again, you guys know the OFC, we're big on family, big on support, and this is really what it's about. And so kudos on you guys for being able to do that.
Thank you.
But also, like, what is, I'm sorry for cutting you, what's really important is what you're talking now is that the education aspect, because right now our community is suffering from a lack of knowledge, all right? And when I say suffering, I mean we have people who are dying without insurance, where it's just costing, and where the knowledge is there, the information is there, like the getting life insurance, there's a bunch of options for you, right? So it is, and sometimes, you know, people tell themselves, oh, well, I can't afford it, whatever the case, but they haven't even taking the time to look into it, and there's opportunities that you can get thanks to people like you in the industry, that you'll be pleasantly surprised on how cost efficient it is to give yourself and your family some peace of mind. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. So Primerica, we equip individual and family with knowledge, like you said. Okay, so often maybe people think they cannot afford it, or they just didn't took the time to sit down and go around it. Because we in Primerica, we sell term life insurance, which is very lower cost. Okay. So yes, there's this aspect, but we are here to give information so people take better decision for their life. So we're teaching concept in through that. So we teach people how money works, you know, like stuff like Rule 72, compound interest. Because yes, you need life insurance, because if you don't have life insurance and you're putting money aside, if something happened, let's say somebody passed away, but you've been putting money aside without having the life insurance, everything crumbles. Okay. So the base of a healthy financial life, it's first of all to have a life insurance, but the proper one, because sometimes you need to do a plan for this. Okay. We have something called the financial need analysis. Okay. Yeah. So if you don't do the financial need analysis, which is a product that's, it's a complementary, okay? Which is a product that's complementary. You need to do that to understand what is your need. It's not everybody who needs life insurance, okay? We are not here to sell product. I'm not a seller, you know? I'm here to teach people how money works and put them in a better position. So before I was saying, hey, I did all those different work career path and stuff like that. But what's my passion is really to help people be in a better position. Okay, I'm not a seller. I'm not somebody who's looking to have tons of clients. I'm looking for empowering people, make them understand how they can make money and to bring generational wealth. Because that's what we're missing, and especially in our community. I could tell you, if I talk about the business side of Primerica, the people who runs Primerica right now, it's all, no offense, all white Caucasian people who making millions, but our people doesn't understand that it's good for them. Okay? They don't. And I think we talk about this event, you know, when we were in the event and I said, if all the young black, let's say in the States, you know, where there's a lot of shooting and stuff like that, if all the young black men, all the young blacks had life insurance, I would guarantee you that there will be not that much shooting. Or all the you know, the abuse, les injustices, you know, if people get killed for nothing, the companies, the life insurance company would have went and find out. Okay, that's my point of view, but I do believe that.
Sister, you are speaking to the converted, my friend. Like, that is, and you're going to see for 2025, I've been advocating our what I'm calling economic activism, where we need to start being more strategic and investing in things like this, where we start to really, even as a community, we start pulling the money together to start putting life insurance on the children to make sure on all our young boys or young girls out there. Then the insurance companies are going to start watching things differently. Then they're going to start to advocate when they're realizing that these aimless crimes are killing people and it's costing money. It's going to be a whole different game. So sister, I am with you 100%, and I'll be advocating heavily for that in 2021.
Totally. And you said something, giving life insurance to children. Actually, it's through the parents that the children will be covered. Okay. I'm not going to start a course, but really what we need to understand that the parents has to be covered, protected, so the younger kids, when they reach 18 or 25, you know, they understand what they need to do for their own life. Okay. So because when you're a young kid, you're like 2 or 3 or 13, okay, you don't have any responsibility then, you know, eating, going to sports, going to school and stuff like that. So the person who should be covered is the person who has the responsibility. So it's not the person, but we covered, you know, we do the protection for their revenue because they're bringing money in. The kid doesn't bring any money.
So let me ask normally. You, and this is me just trying to understand. So in this scenario, the one where we're talking about, where we want to put insurance on the teens and stuff like that who are out there, just so that like the senseless violence and the killing of our youth and stuff like that stops happening. How would we do that in this case? Like, would we put insurance on them, or through the parents, there's some type of coverage for them? That's what I'm, you know.
It's through the parents, okay? Because through the parents, if they're 18 and younger,
right.
In the life insurance, I'm talking about us, term life insurance, which is cheaper. The parents are covered and they pay a little fee for their family. So let's say they pay maybe six, maybe seven, depending on the amount that they want for the kids. So it's one fee for the whole family. So it's included in their life insurance. So when they're 18 or 25, now they will go on their own. Why I say the two ages? Because before there was other rules, okay? You could stay under the parents' policy until 25. Now it's 18.
And what I appreciate about the model, again, of empowerment is I don't want to say forces, but it really encourages the community to get that knowledge, to get an understanding, and to be proactive with investing their capital. Because now the whole science of what I understand behind this is that you save on your insurance because the price difference between a term and a whole life insurance is like night and day. But now that money that you're saving, you do need to be disciplined or educated at least to ensure that you're putting that money away so that it's working for you and you have the control over it. Is that what am I understanding?
Exactly. Exactly. So through the plan, again, the financial need analysis, we will put, you know, life insurance for a family to a certain amount of money, which is lower, to help them put money aside in a mutual fund, okay? Or other investment option to grow their saving, okay? Or doing the retirement plan. Often, depending on the situation, because it's not one size fit all, okay? Everybody has a situation, a different situation, but the first place to start, it's with the financial need analysis. Some people, we will put money aside right away. Other people, we will do debt management first, okay? So it depends, okay? It doesn't mean that, okay, when you came to me, to my team, that, okay, we're going to put in place right away a saving plan. Okay, maybe we should do debt management first, and then when we liberate a certain amount of money, then we're going to put aside money. Okay, other time you have kids and they don't put money for the school, so maybe we're going to do that because the government give a percentage. And there's other program that people don't know, you know, when you have autism in your family, there's other program that the government give money, like 300% of subsidy. So that's what we do. We need to sit down and see what's the situation. So when I sit down with people, I ask them question about everything. Okay. Right. Everything. So I understand where we're going, and we are a team that looks on the file and see what's the best situation for this family. Okay. That's how we do it. Okay?
So it's like, There's no one size fits all, and
there's none.
That's it. That you see, and that I appreciate, and I think that's really powerful. And we're here to create this opportunity, one for people who are hearing us and who are interested in finding out more, right? So, what can they do? Are you like, do you offer like these free consultations? Are people able to come see you, schedule a time? How does that work? Do they have to book a session with you? How does that work if somebody's hearing us and now they're interested in connecting with you?
So the first time, what I suggest is we do a 20-minute Zoom call, okay? It's a video call where I explain what I do. I explain what's my job, what I do, and if we can work together. Through the conversation, we'll see if I can help you. And if the person agree, then we book another meeting to take the data. Okay. So I will ask you a question. This part, okay, I like to ask for, if it's a couple, to have the men and the woman together. So we do it as a family. Okay. Yes. So it could take me a certain time to put all this together. And then the third meeting, I like to do it in person. Okay. So the first one is the 20 minutes to see, okay, are we able to work together? This is what I do, blah, blah. Then we take the information, the data, and then we meet in person to provide them the situation and to put the plan in place. Okay, so that's how we work. And depending on the family, the situation, we will meet every 3 months, every 6 months, every year. Other, when it's a budget, the budgeting type, we could do calls every week. Okay, because I'm here to help them, you know, get a discipline and schedule, you know, the way, you know, think it changed the way they think and stuff like that. So that's how we do it.
Wow, that is so powerful, and it's like you're able to hold people through the process, and I do like the fact that it's tailored to the individuals, because not everyone has time for weekly calls, but some people need weekly calls, right? So exactly. Like these are things that are a huge benefit. And you said something before too that just came back to mind, and it's the fact that you guys even look into debt. What did you say? It wasn't debt consolidation.
Debt management,
because yeah. Again, and this is something I learned when I was a lot younger, that it is good to save and put money aside, but if you do the math and you're saving a certain amount of money at a certain percentage, but you're paying a certain debt at a certain percentage, you're losing out, and it actually makes more sense to just pay off that debt and then double down on the savings, so that you're not losing in the overall. But I guess these are things that you educate people on, you teach people on how they.
Exactly. So that's when we do the financial lien analysis, we ask questions about their credit card, their loans, but what's the interest rate? It's not for nothing that we ask all the interest rate and all the information, because after that, we will put them in order and see, this is the strategy that we're going to do together. Okay. So it's not our work, our job is not a regular job. We're not here, like I said, to sell. We're here to put people in a better position. And often people don't understand Primerica, okay, because of that. Okay, so I really love what I do, because I could see the end product. When I used to work in the banks, not to say bad stuff, but at one point we didn't see everything. When I was a mortgage specialist, I didn't saw anything. It was like, oh, you've been approved or you've been rejected. Hey, good luck on putting your situation, you know.
And it's so limiting, but and again, not to bad talk anybody, but there's a kind of trick of the system to not let not let everybody know all the information, so it keeps you guys in these boxes, but that limited information really limits your growth, limits your understanding, limits your potential and what you could do for clients. So this I know it's a powerful thing, because you guys are super transparent with Primerica. You're able to deep dive as deep as you want to go and really expose the truth behind of what the financial industry is about, and really empower individuals, like you had said. And I think that's why it's a good fit, and why you're a great fit for the OFC community, because that's really what we are about, is bringing people together who want to share information to help each other to better our tomorrow, right? It's not that complicated. It's we share the same values, we wanted the same things, and we're here to help each other to succeed, and we're wholehearted with it. So that is amazing. Now, if people want to connect with you, what is the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me, I would say my cell phone. It's my cell phone. Also by email. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have my email and I have a website, but my cell phone would be the best thing. So I accept texts, voicemail, and email. So it's on my profile. I don't know if we're going
to check so that. Obviously everybody knows you guys can check out the OFC community. Just search Elizabeth and you will find her on the directory as well. But you're welcome to give your phone number here if you want.
Perfect. So my phone number is 514-863-4244. My email.
You know what the number? You got to give people a second, because one, somebody's listening to this in their car and they're like, hold on. Oh God, jeez! Okay. Give me a second to grab my phone.
Sorry.
Right.
Okay. So 514.
Yes.
863-4244 514-863-4244. Puis j'ai un courriel aussi. C'est Eucantave, mon nom. Eucantave à commercialprimerica.com. Puis j'ai une adresse courriel.
Yes.
Donc, le website, c'est vraiment www.primerica.com
Cantave. Cantave. All right. And Cantave, that's C-A-N-T-A-V-E.
Yes, exactly. Cantave. Exactly.
So now, Queen, so there's, I'd like to ask a question. So we know definitely the goal is for our listeners now to get educated, to connect with you so that they could learn more. Now, I'd like to reverse it a little bit. And in addition to just connecting with you, if the community could do anything to support you or encourage you in business or in life, well, how can we be a service to you?
It's really through referral, okay? Because we don't do any advertisement, okay? As you know, primary care, it's word of mouth, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's who you know. If you know any family, okay, people who has kids, their homeowner, they're between 25, 55, they have a job, you know, they're working. All those people can benefit from what we do. Okay, basically, it's the middle-class families, okay, people. Okay. So it's through referrals, so that's the way we do it. I'm thinking of putting together an event, so I will let you know whenever I'm ready, but really towards the community. That's where I'm passionate about, so I'm looking forward for this. And like I said, also, when we do the financial need analysis, sometimes people think that finance is not for them because they don't have enough income coming in. They find that, you know, they're getting the money to pay bills. We look at that also when we build the financial need analysis. Let's say it come out that, okay, there's they need money. They need extra money. That's when we talk about also the opportunity. There's always a way, okay, to make money. And like Warren Buffett say, if you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you will work all your life until you die. Okay, that's why we're trying to change, okay?
Jeez, you know, and it's funny, you kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but now I'm asking.
Oh, sorry.
Well, shoot, because I like to get our to have our guests leave our listeners with some words of encouragement, some words of empowerment. Now, you just dropped a quote, but I don't know if you have another another word that you would like to leave with us.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. But I would say that we need to take control of our financial future now. Okay, we need to do that. And it's whether you're looking to protect your family, whether you're looking to reduce your debt, have a plan for retirement, explore other career paths. Okay, we are here to help. Okay, that's what I want people to keep in mind. Primerica is there to help people. Like other company, there's different team, different organization. My organization, we're here to help. So if ever you need to change those stuff, get started today with a financial need analysis. It's complimentary, and it's the new starting point for your life.
Woo! Queen, well, we appreciate you. Thank you for that, and thank you for bringing your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding, your energy to the community and to the show. This has been our Parlay with the People segment, and I'm always grateful just for being able to create this opportunity for people in the community to be able to meet others within the community and grow together and to build together. And like you, as you all know, we are here to build that foundation for our future generation. So again, thank you for what you're doing for the community, sending all kind of love, well wishings, and blessings for you and your entire family, guys.
Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate the association, and I'm here to work a long time together.
Yes, thank you for that. All right, so now we will, as we now take a pause for the cause, and we'll be back with Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Actually, it's time to ungrind those gears. Let's get into some interesting facts, tips, and a whole lot of fun with Gina the Great.
What the facts is going on? I would like to give a big congratulations to Joseph Deng. So Joseph Deng makes history as the first player from South Sudan to sign a professional MLB contract. So he is playing in baseball, so the MLB baseball contract. So this was a week or so. The Los Angeles Dodgers recently signed the 17-year-old pitcher, Joseph Deng, the athlete making a history as the first player from South Sudan ever to sign a professional baseball contract. Standing at an impressive 6'7" with a 95 miles per hour fastball, Deng has the raw talent and physical potential to develop into a true force on the mound. And being just a teenager, he has plenty of time to refine his skills and build strength, meaning that fastball will soon be touching triple digits. For South Sudan, Deng's journey represents hope and inspiration. Baseball may not yet be a dominant sport in his home country, but his success could open up doors for future generations of young athletes who dare to dream beyond boundaries. So this isn't just about one player making it into the big leagues. It's about paving the way for an entire nation.
So shout out.
I love to that ones right there, yo. Man, and it's you, Torrington, because he's like, you doing a thing? Yo.
Hello. You know, you think I do this. Yeah. I do this. I like to keep a theme going. Sometimes it happens. Actually, honestly, a lot of the times it happens serendipitously, but this happened to come out in time for me to be able to talk about it. So I'm super happy about that.
I need a new job. Spirit.
Drew? Apparently you can do. You?
Okay. Anyway.
To that point, let's get into some, normally I do motivational quote, but this is just, I'm going to give you a little update, and I'm also going to share some things that are some cool things that nature's doing this year that I'll talk to you about my update. And in the meantime, get out a pen and paper to note these dates down or, you know, start recording on your phone to have to note these dates down. But I just wanted to say I'm week 3 in no refined sugar. So I thought I was going to say it on the show, but I don't think I did. But I'm on 40 days no sugar, or 40 to forever no days of sugar or refined sugar. I was going to come back
dope,
to you guys.
By the way, that sounds dope.
Yeah, I was going to come back 40 days later down the line. But I needed to check in. I needed to check in because in my third week, to be honest, a lot of the cravings are gone. I'll tell you, the first week I was kind of just like, I want a croissant. I want a this, a that. And like, you know, again, no refined sugar. It's not, I say that because I emphasize that because I'm still eating fruit. Can't nobody come tell me nothing about my fruit, okay?
Talk about it, yep.
But it's about the things that have added sugar. And I've also told myself that I'm okay with adding maple syrup, but I haven't added it yet. Like I still want to move away from sweetening anything that's not like, you know, that I don't have to. But this also leads you going back to reading many more labels. And I'm a label reader when it comes down to my food and stuff. Mm. But you normally read the label. Like, I got to read labels to make sure that they have things like gelatin in there for things like yogurt, by the way. Most yogurts have gelatin. Damn. And gelatin is not
pork right into yogurt? Damn.
Yeah, sometimes it's bovine. And sometimes they tell you. You know, I'm seeing in stores now, a lot of the jelly beans now, it'll be like gelatin and it'll be like bovine or... I think it's porcine that they have for whatever. So they'll tell you, sometimes they use both. Whatever it is, it's not vegetarian. So, you know.
Right, yeah.
But to this point.
Sorry to cut you. But that thing with refined sugar, because to me, it's like, it seems a lot more challenging just because I feel like everything has
They put sugar in it. That is the point I was coming to right there. Oh. We are succinct. Because the amount of stuff that they put sugar in, and you sneak it into things too. Like the other day, I was trying to get pita bread. I was like, okay, yes, yes, yes. Ooh, no, sugar. And I'll give it to the pita bread. Like, sugar was probably like out of like, say, 6 ingredients, it was the 5th.
Okay.
But I challenge you to go into your cupboards and your fridge and look at certain ingredients where some of the things that you think that you're, okay, example, I have hoisin sauce in my fridge. I turn around to look at it, the first ingredient is sugar. And if you don't know how ingredients lists work, your top 3 to 5, the first 3 to 5 ingredients is what is the majority of content in there. So like you have to, things are not alphabetical order. the way the ingredients are set is because what has the highest quantity in said product has to be listed first, and it is listed in that in that order. Like denomination, in that order. There we go. So when I open this, when I'm looking at this thing, it says my hoisin sauce, the first ingredient is sugar. It made me think of somebody made a joke about Panda Express and they're like, oh, what do you want? I was like, I want sugar chicken. That's because it doesn't matter what sauce it is. It doesn't matter if it's General Tao or orange chicken or this or third, it's sugar chicken because the main ingredient is sugar. And which is a very North American thing. I say that to say, because my sister-in-law, who is from China, she's just like, everything here is sweet. Every time she eats things, she's like, that's too sweet for me. And I'm not even like a sugar person like that. Like I'm the person where when we used to make juice out of the cans, I used to put 4 cans of water instead of 3.
Yeah.
Like,
well, like, water down the thing. Oh, God.
That's juice. I don't know what you, I wasn't looking for Kool-Aid. I wanted juice.
Right.
But so I'm that person, and I'm just like, oh, you're gonna like this. It's not so bad. She's like, oh, that's too sweet. I was just like, a lie. I'm like, okay.
So it's very much a desserts good. Thing. Like, I don't like desserts. Like, people find it so weird. I'm like, I'm forcing. I really don't like cake. I don't like, there's so many weird things. I'm just like, I'm not down. I don't like any of these kind of sweets. But on the flip side, I'll put way too much sugar in my cereal. So.
Well, then it's not necessarily the sweet that you don't like. You just don't like the vessel it's coming into.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I just don't like cake. You might not appreciate cake. Yeah, I don't like any of those kinds
of things. But because, I mean, like cereal is pretty much dessert for breakfast. But I hear you. I hear you. You can't eat a Captain Crunch and be like, fiber, NASA. That sugar is way more sugar than
mini wheats. Mini wheats just comes with a layer of sugar on one side. I don't add sugar to
it. Okay, so not you. Well, frosted mini wheats, but like not you choosing like the one cereal that has probably the less amount of sugar of anything else. Like you, like that is such a grandfather cereal to have to bring up. Like real children don't even like mini wheats. What are we talking about here?
Well, and Zynga does. That's she's like my mini me.
I'm my nemesis. Your nemesis.
It's so funny. Like as a little, she's the bane. She's forever trying to attack me. It's just so funny. But anyways, sorry, I digress.
Because she's your mini me. Yeah, sure. I can only see you guys both eating frosted sugar wheats at the table. Well, all that to say, do check your ingredients and understand that because for me, as I'm aging upwards and the things that it does, and like as everyone knows, and again, it doesn't take being a certain age either. As you grow, you can build different intolerances and stuff like that. And sugar is highly addictive. It does not belong in nowhere near the amount of things that it is in our food. And sometimes you think that you have a healthy living and you don't understand why this knee hurts or this pan won't come off or this and a third. It's because it's hidden in a lot of your food. And I mean, I say hidden, it's there in the ingredients, but we look at the top of the label where it's just like, oh, no cholesterol. Right, but you're oil. So whatever you fry, whatever I use you for, it will cause saturated fat. Eat cholesterol. So don't read the labels, read the ingredients.
Talk about it.
Okay, so there's some interesting space events coming up in 2025. Space events.
Oh, cool.
The universe. Well, it's not the universe. The universe mm-hmm. is much faster than that. But so we have there March 14th, there will be a total lunar eclipse. So I know a lot of people like to see that. So it's at the red moonish, I think. Yeah. So you'll have a total eclipse on March 14th. That's coming up. That's in about a month. Hmm. There's going to be a springtime meteor from April 16th to the 25th. July 2025, the Milky Way. There's going to have a Milky Way cosmic glow.
A Milky Way cosmic flow?
Glow.
Glow. Mm-hmm. But this is something that all Earthlings will be able to see, or we're going to see in different parts of the
Yeah, no, you should. This is going to be happening in the universe. So, I mean, obviously, a lot of the stuff is obviously during the night. You should be able to see it. So, if you guys are into that, build out your, you know, take dust out the telescope or just have a look out. And I wonder if like the Milky Way cosmic glows is like you ever know like those nights where you're just kind of like it's 10 p.m. It's supposed to be really dark, but why is it so light outside?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's when that's happening.
Yeah. I love going out to the retreat. Because we don't see stars in the city like you do in the country. And
you're taking down notes of these dates.
Yeah. That's what it is. I'm thinking, yo, this could be lit to go to watch it from the cottage. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So in August, there's the Jupiter Venus conjunction. So I think that's when they're like in the same, like next to each other. And October is the super harvest moon. So I think that's when the moon looks really, really big.
Mm.
And then in December, there's a comet 240P neat. Not sure what that is, but maybe I'll look out for it when it is in December.
So I think I'm going to connect. I think Sister Odessa in the community could tell us about these astral things happening. I think we have been on the show.
All right. Well, that's what's going on this year on a cosmic level.
So much more happening beneath the eye. Like, yo, my gosh. Like, everything happening, the ups and downs, how we're feeling the energy. Like, you know, I feel there's so much galactic things happening on this planet. Like, next thing, we're about to start seeing the extraterrestrials that are living here with us, too. I think that's going to be the next thing. I don't know. I thought you were going to talk about that, but... Maybe that's coming on down the line.
No. But I do have a throwback for you.
Nice.
More than. I have a throwback, which you completely love, and I can't believe I haven't done it in such a long time. But I have a joke of the day.
I'm laughing already.
You might be laughing now, but we all know how this has gone in the past.
Yeah, I know.
So, if women are supposed to be in the kitchen, why is it called cooking and not cook queen?
Now you see you've woken the sleeping dragon, because my children have bought me a dad's joke book that has beer dad jokes in it that I've been practicing. They told me don't bring it up on the show. That's it. You've awoken the bear. Next episode, I'm bringing the book out. You guys get
dad jokes. Okay, we're reviving it. You didn't laugh into the mic, so they don't even know. But I was actually expecting a kiss teeth, because I know you. What do you mean? That was a good one. Hate. This was a good one. But I know you've had a love hate relationship with my dad jokes.
No, you know what it is. I've developed a new appreciation because you got the book. ever since I got the book. And I'd be disturbing whole household activities. Whoa, whoa, guys. I have something. I have a good one here. Yes. So, no, I have a new appreciation for these jokes.
I think that's part of the dad joke is that, yes, ideally you want it to have a ironic, like, funniness of it all. But it's the oh, geez reaction of it all that really makes it funny for the one who's delivering it.
Yes.
All right. Well, love is in the air, and I figured trivia should reflect that. I'm gonna have a Valentine's trivia themed for us today.
Dope.
Well, it's just you, so we'll get into it with that. On average, how many times does a heart beat per day?
On average. Easy. So, if I do the math, this times that, carry the one. And then there's 24 hours in a day.
There's 24 of them.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I lost. Okay, wait. Come back again. Bring that. I'm going to divide it by 2 just to be safe. Multiply by 4.
Multiplications.
About 10,000 times.
Well, I didn't even expect you to get that high, but it's 100,000.
You see, I should have times it by 10 instead of.
Yeah, you divided it by 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the division threw me off.
The division threw you off. Mm-hmm.
Well, I figured the heart, it beats once, but it sounds like 2 times. But boom, that's one beat, you know, so I said divide that, but anyways, go ahead, continue.
All right. Made to melt you is a slogan for which chocolate manufacturer's truffles?
Could this be multiple choice or no?
You know, I did set this up for multiple choice, you know.
Yeah, can you repeat the question again?
Made to melt you is a slogan Made to melt you is a slogan for which chocolate manufacturer's truffles?
Cadbury.
Let me see. You say Cadbury? That's so funny. You're like, can I get a multiple choice question? And I was literally going to try to make up like 3 out of the 4. And Cadbury was literally going to be my first answer.
Oh, well, then you threw me off because I'm telepathically listening to you.
Whatever. But it's Lindt. Lindt chocolate. Lindt chocolate truffles is a slogan is made to melt you. Okay. You know, Lindt's pretty good because I do feel like Lindt's very synonymous with like chocolate and like gifts and stuff. They worked it out with that. Like, I mean, gifts. I mean, for like Valentine's Day and stuff.
Nice.
Relative to perfume, this phrase roughly translates into grooming water.
Sorry, grooming water.
Mm-hmm.
And it translates to grooming water, like roughly?
It roughly translates to grooming water. Relative to perfume.
So not eau de toilette.
It is eau de toilette.
Thank you very much. All right. But I don't know why the grooming water. I really don't know how that's grooming water.
Why I say roughly, what I'm understanding the roughly because, you know, when you bring your dogs to, the groomers, basically.
Right, yeah.
I think in French, it's like, it is like it's a toilet, la toiletterie and stuff like that.
I get it. I as a youth, I never understood. I was like, why do you even want toilet water? Anyways. No, it's a literal translation in my head. Like, oh, the toilet. Disgusting.
The toilet. What element are diamonds made of?
Coal. No? That's not an element? Mm-hmm.
You're not far off. Carbon is correct.
Thanks.
This you should know, as we were talking about, you know, sugar in your food. This might be a little food related, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to have this during the weekend. So how many calories are in a glass of champagne?
Can I get a range? Can I get multiple choice? No, nothing. I'll
give you multiple choice. 110.
Okay.
84.
Okay.
62.
Mm-hmm.
150.
84.
84 is correct, and I'm glad you didn't ask me to repeat, because
yes,
to be able to.
It just, the 100 seemed too much, the 67 felt too low, but I have no clue. I don't know how to count. Like, see how you're talking about, you read labels. I am the complete opposite. I'm like, let me put this in my mouth. Yes, I'm seeing. I don't like those tastes. Like, I don't read it. I'm not. No, I didn't like that. Okay.
Yuckies. Got it. Frank Sinatra, Judy Garland, and Elvis Presley all got married in what U.S. city?
Can you repeat it again, please?
Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. Judy Garland, and Elvis Presley all got married in what U.S. city?
U.S. city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and say... you said Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra, Judy Garland, Elvis Presley.
Oh, I feel like I know this. Is Nashville a city? Yeah,
Nashville, Tennessee is a city. It is incorrect. But if I say Viva
Las Vegas, damn, I should have thought about that. Vegas. Jeez. I like, yes. I don't know why I was thinking country. I don't know. I was like, some country, maybe. I don't know why.
No. Nope. It was Las Vegas in the... Okay. First of all, here's the gag and the goop of it all. Did you know Lady and the Tramp was animated in 1955?
No, I didn't.
Because I thought that came out in the 80s when I was born.
No. But... Oh, so it was that? Oh, we're watching with the dogs and the spaghetti?
Yes. Boom, 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 rough. Yes. I do not know. So in 1955, the animated feature Lady and the Tramp, two dogs shared a smooch over what meal?
Spaghetti.
And?
Meatballs.
That is correct.
The meatballs is a part of the meal? I thought it was just an
yes, item. It's spaghetti and meatballs. That's what they had.
But nothing's better than me, as I am me, if you please.
If you please. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Me, Drew, can you plug that in here for me?
If you don't. But I don't know if we should, because I think that was, maybe Drew edited this out. just because it falls under like the racism of Disney.
What?
How? Because it did a whole like a whole Chinese accent and stuff like that.
Yeah, wait, they're not just giving props to the Chinese them? Yo,
those
cats had the slanted eyes. I figured it was a part of the thing.
Oh well, you know what? They do origin from Thailand.
Thank you.
But I'm gonna say this. Hopefully, it's not racist, to be honest. But because Jen, my sister has a dog named Mia, and like I have the reflex of always going Mia Siamese, if you please. Mm-hmm. And so she knows that. She gets excited when I start singing it. But now the kids do it too. So every now and again, the kids will be like, me a Siamese. And they've never seen Lady in the Tramp, by the way. But that's how you keep things alive.
Talk about it.
That's how you keep things alive. Okay. Here's another fun fact question, trivia of sorts. Not of sorts, it is trivia. Approximately how many roses are produced for Valentine's Day each year?
Oh my gosh.
And like, let me just start you off. It's in the millions.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm like, yo, like for Valentine's, because roses are produced pretty regularly anyways, right? You want to get, you know, mm-hmm. do something nice, you're going to get some roses. But I'm going to go ahead, and you're, this is within North America, over the world.
It like, just says, well, it just says Valentine's Day, so
yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be crazy with it, but I'm going to go ahead and say like 2.5 million.
2.5 million?
Yeah.
Well, this is when you would have wanted to times that by 100 is 250 million. 250 million roses are produced for Valentine's Day every year.
Yo, bro, that's a lot of roses, G.
There's a lot of roses.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some corporate craziness behind that, too. Like, I'm
isn't
sure.
Isn't there, isn't it for everything? What are you talking
facts.
About?
You're only talking facts. We only give diamonds to our wives because of the beer company. Wanting to sell diamonds.
Oh, highly probable. I mean, what do rabbits have to do with Easter?
Talk about it. Yeah, it's maybe a doo-doo. It's shaped like little eggs, but even that is kind of weird.
But what do the eggs have to do with Easter either?
Yo, you're only talking facts. That's true. Like, it's what does that have to do with Jesus Christ's reincarnation? You know what I mean? If that's what
Easter's really about. Not a daggone thing.
I know they brought out little ducks too. I didn't even know ducks had anything to do with Easter. I see little ducks. I see little chicklets. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. All the cute little bunny type frou-frous. Mm-hmm. According to Roman mythology, who is the son of Mercury and Venus?
Zeus? Wait, Mercury and Venus?
Keep in mind, this is a Valentine trivia.
That tells me nothing. That helps me no way.
The group 112 sings about.
No, more nothing. That doesn't help me at all, Jim. Well, let me think. What's the question again?
According to Roman mythology.
Yes.
Who is the son of Mercury and Venus?
The son of Mercury and Venus is... Mercury and Venus together made... Damn. I'm just going to
go... Bow and arrow?
Cupid. What?
It's Cupid.
That is not galactic in any way. I'm thinking...
No, but because, you know, Roman mythology is the other side of the coin from Greek mythology, and the gods were named after planets in Roman mythologies, and in Greek mythologies have a different name. So, like, Zeus could be Mercury. I don't know what Zeus is in Roman, but, like, all of them, Zeus, Hades, blah, 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 they all have planetary names in Roman mythology.
Crazy.
Yup. Yup. Okay, let's do two more.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm crushing it. By my own definition of crushing.
You're not doing too bad. Okay. What does XOXO stand for?
Hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses is correct.
And good cognac. Did you say X1XO or 2XOs?
No, XOXO okay. is what I said.
Okay.
And this one I shall do for you and our listeners. What is the French word for love?
Amour?
Yes. First of all, I wanted it with a lot more enthusiasm.
No, well, I was expecting a little more challenge.
No. Did you not hear how I teed it up?
That's
so again, let's redo that. And this one is for you and all of our listeners. What is the French word for love?
Ah, c'est l'amour. You feel the smile in that one, listener? I smiled on that one.
Yeah, the ad lib was a little crazy. But we'll leave it at that. That was awesome. That was a little Valentine's trivia for you all. And I hope you guys are surrounding yourselves by loved ones, not just on Valentine's, but on every day, because at the end of the day, life is too short to be around people you don't like. On that note, I grind, you grind, and sometimes we need to ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. I'd like to thank our special guests. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, DOFC, and definitely Drew in the Stew. Do you have any shout-outs?
I do, but you want to go first?
I do. It's less of a shout-out, and it's more of a call-out to the community to really keep your eyes open. Camilla Benjamin, whom I know personally, has been missing for weeks now. I'm really hoping and praying, but by the time you guys hear this, that, you know, she is found. We are pre-recording, and so this is a couple of days beforehand. But if you do, if you have not seen it on social media and or on TV, because it is running in the news too, her parents, her mother is absolutely looking out for her, like is looking for her. If you have any leads, please do reach out. Actually, I'm going to let you have it continue on your shout outs as I go get the number for everyone to reach out to.
Most def. So a couple of cool things. One, I want to remind you guys, the 14th, so that's tomorrow, as you guys are listening to this, Kim Dominic, Mad Poetics, definitely check it out. It's such an amazing space, amazing show. I encourage everybody to come on out and support it. OFC members, you guys get 20% off your tickets, so do not don't stick. Definitely go out and participate and support that. It's just great to see community coming together. And actually, when you see him, ask him if he has any Smell Good Good. He has a new product that he is putting out, and it's awesome. It's great for the skin, great for the season. Some shea butter, you already know.
Now banned more than 72.
And the... I also... I wanted to say the shout-out. Instead of doing it at the beginning... and it is to the love of my life. It was her birthday last week. We had a great time. So I'm just always grateful, and I just want to send her love and thank you. I'm thanking all you guys on her behalf, because as soon as I mentioned it's her birthday, I got all kind of messages like, it's her birthday, not mine, but the love is there. There's mad people who appreciate her. I appreciate her. So I just wanted to take that moment to just send her that love. I want to shout out all the radio hosts, all the podcasts, everybody that's been supporting the OFC and our initiative with our flag and creating awareness about that. So again, shout out to Chad, shout out to Dice B, shout out to I've been on so many different platforms in the last couple of weeks. A shout out to Big Brother Preach, who had me on his show as well. Shout out to Melissa Messina and Larky Minitaya, who had me on as well. So, and for those who are still reaching out and creating opportunities for me to get on and to share, shout out to Kim Dominic as well, who had me on who had me on the Soul Perspective Youth Edition. So again, shout out to the community for continuing to support and encourage as we continue to do the same. Deanna, great. Do you want to close out?
Yes. Geez, I had a hard time like finding it because I was going through my social media, and like every time I'm trying to get to the link and clicking the link, it's like, oh, people in Canada can't see this. You know, the whole rules about posting news and stuff on social media is so ridiculous.
Crazy, right?
But if you do see her, you can call 450-662-4636. The case is the case number is LVL 250-202077. Again, if you see her or know of anything, or even if you think you see someone who looks like her, call 450-662-4636.
Kings and queens, this was the OFC Podcast Radio with Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, Queen Kaya, and myself, Gina the Great. We're on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Stay blessed and highly favored.
OFC Podcast Radio.